Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Lindsay Schnell is a friend of the show. You know her as a great sports writer. USA Today national correspondent. She's covering a lot of things that have to do with the pandemic these days, and she's joining us now. You were in a meatpacking plant. What the heck's going on?
I was in a meatpacking plant in quite the outfit, John. Thank you for asking. We are working on a big series on frontline workers and basically people who are risking their lives to make sure the food chain keeps going. So I went and spent the day at a small meatpacking plant, which we have one in Portland. And the guy who runs it is a Beaver fan. So when I first reached out to him, he was like, "Hey, I know you from when you used to cover Oregon State."
That's great. Give me an idea of the stress level that you feel when you're walking into essentially a small business that's trying to make it amid a pandemic and a lot of other problems that are closing in on them.
I think that everyone just feels a heightened sense of urgency, right? Because our economy is in free fall right now, and these small businesses are really hurting. There's a sense of urgency. They need to figure out how to problem solve, do it quickly. If it doesn't work, what's their backup plan? But I also think that at these small businesses like Nikki USA, the meat processing plant I was in Portland, they are so small that they are able to keep their physical distance better than a lot of big plants. So in terms of safety, I don't think the stress level is super high compared to if you went into like a Tyson meat processing plant, which there's one up in Washington that's pretty close to us. So I think that there's also a spirit of teamwork and camaraderie. People are really coming together. They want to, you know, family is a word that came up a lot when I was doing that interview and spending the day there. They really want to take care of each other. So I think you can, depending on if you want to be, you know, positive or negative, you can look at the glass half full if you want. It can also be half empty.
Lindsay Schnell with us, USA Today. This company that you did a story on, I read the story. It was terrific. You did a great job. But essentially for the listener, it's a small Oregon meatpacking plant. Overnight, they learned that they're going to be shut down. This is in March, like everybody else. Here we are, March the 16th. And they had $250,000 worth of meat that's going to come through the plant. Now they have no restaurants, no bars, nowhere to sell this to. Are they in a panic mode at that point that all of a sudden their cash flow is gone and they're going to get stuck with $250,000 worth of beef?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the way they described it is in a matter of hours, 85% of their business was just gone. You know, and they had kind of been, they said, in denial about how bad it was going to get. But when Governor Brown basically shut down the state on March 16th, what are they going to do? So they had to, you know, call an audible for a game plan they never conceived and decided to start selling direct. You know, you and me and any of your listeners can now go online and purchase really high quality meat from this plant, and you can get everything from hamburgers and steaks to, you know, kangaroo if you have a hankering to make that at home. But there was definitely fear and so much uncertainty, right? In this whole situation, I think everyone is dealing with that uncertainty, not sure about what's going to happen to their jobs, their family, their, you know, is it safe to go out of the house? What happens when they have to go to the grocery store? Like, everyone is going through that right now in their own part of the world.
Lindsay Schnell, USA Today, is with us. All right, I've wrestled with this since the beginning of this pandemic. I was in Vegas covering the Pac-12 tournament. I get called home. It's very easy for me to be myopic and go, oh, the sports world, oh, it's really suffering. Then all of a sudden we realize people are dying. The economy's crashing. There are bigger things than sports. As a sports writer who is doing real-world stories, how silly does the sports world look to you? Or what? How do you frame that when, if we're just having a beer and having a conversation about it?
It does feel really silly to me. I understand that sports can serve as this kind of galvanizing force for fans. And certainly after 9/11, right, sports were where we all got back together and we wanted to be safe. And it was like we were going to show we weren't afraid to gather in large crowds. But that's not what this is about. And I think that it's just so low priority. It's crazy to me that we're talking about having an NFL season. I don't understand how you can do that when it's not just players and coaches who are millionaires that you're putting at risk, right? It's stadium workers, it's janitors, people who are in charge of field maintenance, who probably aren't being paid very well, probably don't have great health care, and therefore are at a bigger risk to contract this disease that has been killing a lot of people. Is it really worth that PR nightmare? Do we really need to play football that badly? The other day I turned on the USA Network and caught the tail end of WWE, and it was so weird without fans. Is it really worth it? I don't think so. I think sports are not important at all right now. I understand people want a distraction, but, you know, there's a lot of shows on Netflix. you can find a distraction.
Lindsay Schnell, USA Today, is with us. I feel the same way because, on one hand, I know that sports is a multi-billion dollar industry and there are a lot of jobs that are at stake. On the other hand, I do see owners and players pushing to get back onto the field because, of course, there's television dollars there and they've got bills to pay themselves. And I wonder at what point, you know, something's got to give. Do you think we play college football on time in September?
Absolutely not. I don't see how there's any way we can send kids back to college because of the dorm situation. I think we are going to go back to school in some capacity, at least K-12, but I think colleges are not happening. So until we get a vaccine, I don't see that happening. It's weird to think about actual football in the spring instead of just spring football, but I would guess that happens. I've heard rumblings that in terms of college basketball, they're going to try to play in January and probably just play conference schedules, no non-conference. But again, I don't see how we're going to put these kids on campus because not just what happens if someone gets sick, what if someone dies? Like the NCAA is so risk averse already. I can't see them taking this risk.
Lindsay Schnell is with us, USA Today national correspondent. Now, you were at a meatpacking plant today. Are you at an oyster farm? Is that where you're headed?
I'm on my way to go spend the day with an oyster farmer up in the Seattle area. I'm not entirely sure what to expect, except we're going to be outside, so I know I will feel safer. I have to say, going to that meatpacking plant, I felt safer there in my getup, which I tweeted a picture of today, than I do like going to Fred Meyer, where a lot of people don't care about the social distancing rules. So yeah, on the way to spend the day with an oyster farmer up in the Seattle area, you know, shellfish is actually really important to our U.S. economy also and to the food chain because a lot of vegetarians will eat shellfish. And then shellfish is also really important within Asian communities and within Asian cuisine. So those families are looking for it and they need to get it somehow. And you have to, I've learned a lot about oyster farming, John, if you were curious. You have to plan out oyster farming. You have to do stuff today for oysters that you can't eat for like 5 years. You can't just ignore it, right? That's what all these farmers, whether they're land or sea, are dealing with right now. They have to take care of everything today.
It's like recruiting, you know? It's like you don't see the results for several years. Speaking of that, let's talk some college.
Babysit the 13-year-old.
Women's college basketball. Women's college basketball is undergoing this this revolution in the last couple of years. I think we've really seen it accelerate. We're getting these big Monday games on ESPN. Oregon plays UConn. Next year, South Carolina and Oregon are trying to put together a game at the beginning of the season that ESPN would televise. There is a fear that with Sabrina gone, that this state loses some of its luster. I've been telling people, five McDonald's All-Americans at Oregon. Oregon State's got a good program. Am I preaching the right tune?
Yes, I absolutely think you are. I mean, what our state has proven over the last, 6 years is the Pac-12 championship runs through this state. So I have a lot of confidence that both Scott Ruick and Kelly Graves are going to continue to have very high-level programs. McDonald's All-Americans, they're both really good X's and O's coaches. We've watched them win a lot of big games because they're better strategists than a lot of other coaches. I don't think it's going anywhere. Sabrina sold a lot of tickets, but I think what she really did is she brought people into the gym and then they saw, hey, these other people can play too. Hey, this is a good product. Hey, this is more affordable, more family friendly, and I'm watching awesome basketball. So I think that much like Courtney Vandersloot, who played for Kelly Graves at Gonzaga, brought a lot of Gonzaga fans initially in, the Gonzaga women continue to sell out all the time. I think it's going to be similar. You know, I don't think either Oregon or Oregon State are going anywhere.
Lindsay Schnell, USA Today. Hey, I appreciate the reporting you're doing. I think it's important stuff. And I just felt like it was such an interesting bit of context. I mean, sports feels so much, Lindsay, doesn't it, like life and death? And you hear from fans, and now you're out, you're meeting small business owners that are just trying to keep 25 people employed, and you know, the owner's in tears because he's got to lay people off.
Yeah, absolutely. It really gives you perspective when you think about how upset coaches and fans get about, you know, a botched 4th-and-1 call. And I will say that having covered Mike Riley for so long, I think he was always really good about keeping that perspective. But this whole situation has reinforced that. And I also think when we eventually can play sports again, especially with fans, it's going to be really incredible. And maybe we'll all appreciate it a little bit more about that distraction. But for now, yeah, let's, you know, if we're going to rank things, it's pretty low on the importance category.
Lindsay Schnell, USA Today. Thank you, Lindsay. Appreciate you. Coming up, our big splash, plus a bankruptcy that might not have to be. We'll talk about that. And Major League Baseball owners want to get back to work, but will the players go along with it? So much more ahead. A lot of confusion out there about what should be open, what is open, whether you need to wear a mask. Many of you tweeting at me, and I appreciate that. Francisco says he has a mask, can't afford to buy a new one every day because they're not reusable. And he says they're selling them 6 for $15. He wears ones every day for work, but sometimes he runs out, and he says he has to go to the store without one. Chris in the Gorge says he agrees there's not clarity, and if we need masks, everyone needs to wear one in a store like Costco. Also, there should be no kids in non-essential businesses. It's just not consistent. John says he went fishing on Saturday. Nobody pulled in a fish. He says the universe is telling him what it thought about his day of fishing. And I've got a number of people who are weighing in, I think well-intentioned, just saying, look, I'm confused. I'm confused on whether or not how risky this is. Should I be wearing a mask? Just in case you're wondering, the White House just issued a memo requiring staff members of the White House to wear masks while in the West Wing. That's new. May 11th. Here we go. They're going to wear masks in the West Wing. Of course, this brings us to our big splash. It's the one thing you need to know today.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. But
the big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips.
cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
I'm going to blend two things together here. Major League Baseball's owners have approved a proposal that would get the season started on July 4th. They'd play about 82 games. The ball is, so to speak, in the court of the Players Association. Figure out if the players are willing to do that. I just don't know what you do if you have positive tests or you have a team that can't continue or what happens. How do you sequester players? I think there's so many questions. It feels to me a little bit like the Major League Baseball owners are punting, hoping that the Players Association comes back with a better solution. Meanwhile, Dr. Anthony Fauci is talking to NBC Sports. He said football provides the perfect setup to spread coronavirus. He says diligent testing and this second wave of the virus is going to help determine what a potential NFL season in 2020 could look like. Fauci told NBC the virus will make this decision, not politicians, the virus. He says right now there's too much infection for a season. He said, but I'd hope by the time we get to September, it's not going to be the way it is right now, end quote. He also explained to NBC that sweat is not a threat to spread the virus, but the danger of players shedding the virus would still be high during a football game. It's a respiratory virus. It's going to spread by shedding the virus. You wipe your nose, it's on your hand. Then you touch your chest, then your thigh, it's on your chest or your thigh for a few hours. Sweat, as such, won't transmit it, but people in close contact, like football players on every single play, Fauci called it the quote-unquote perfect setup for spreading. I also think that you've got a problem if players test positive for the virus. Fauci is saying they need to be quarantined for 2 weeks, so I guess you'd have to go pretty daily, maybe twice a day testing for players, and then you'd have to sequester everybody. And at some point, like, look, it's like we're all trying, wishing, and hoping for Major League Baseball or the NFL or whatever to get back on pace. The bottom line is, if it's this challenging, isn't that our answer? Like, we're not ready right now. I think we all know it. Major League Baseball is saying, how about July? We don't know. Big question mark. College football is saying, how's September work for you? Well, we're not going to know until August when the teams supposedly would need to start practicing. They're saying 6 weeks they need to get ready. I think they only need about four. But I think ultimately, if you are a sports fan, we got a dose of perspective this hour from Lindsay Schnell, who told us, hey, sports don't really matter when you're out meeting with local business owners or small business owners that are struggling. And the business owner she wrote about for USA Today was literally in tears because he's got 33 employees. He's got to go down to 25. And luckily, his son figured out he could sell the meat directly to the public because, you know, no, without restaurants open, they were going to get stuck with $250,000 worth of meat. So luckily they were able to salvage that. And, you know, they want to get something for every scrap of meat that they have. But these are the real things that are facing business owners on a local level. Sports, while it may be symptomatic of a return to normalcy, I don't think sports is essential. I just don't. And I'm a sports person. I think that we've got to be super careful. And I think the worst case scenario is Major League Baseball or the NFL trying to start up and then having large swaths of teams test positive and having, not to mention the danger that would be to certain segments of the society that are more vulnerable. But I just don't want to see false starts. I want it to be careful. I want it to be deliberate. Yes, I want my sports back. Yes, you want sports back. But at what cost? Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. But Major League Baseball's proposal on the table. Owners have essentially said, okay, players, how do you feel about a start in July? And by the way, you got a problem with baseball because you got a team that plays in Canada. That team, the Blue Jays of Toronto, would have to play their games under this proposal in Florida. It would be 82 games. They would have 14 playoff teams instead of 10. So you'd get extra wild cards. Also, they would propose that spring training begins in June and July 4th would be opening day. And then a universal designated hitter, by the way, because anytime you're trying to get something passed, you try to slip in something else that you need. So they don't want pitchers mixing with regular position players. And by the way, 30-man roster, that would go out the window. You'd need 50 players available because of the possible positive tests. I mean, Major League Baseball really trying to say to the players, hey, do you really want to play? So I think the owners are pushing this forth, going, no fans of the stadium. We could play under this format. And by the way, in Major League Baseball, about 40% of the revenue comes from ticket sales. So you're talking about a season that is only worth about 60 cents on the dollar to the owners. At some point, I have to wonder if Major League Baseball is just going to throw its hands up and go, look, we can't do it. This doesn't make sense. I don't think the NBA could be far behind. I think optimism, the optimism in me is looking at September and going, okay, can we play college football? Could the NFL teams be ready to play at that point? I think anything else is super ambitious and could possibly set us back. Coming up, we're going to talk about Justin Herbert in the NFL. Los Angeles Chargers have got Herbert. We're going to talk with the beat reporter who covers that team. He's the best on the beat. We'll be talking with Daniel Popper of The Athletic coming up. He has been following Justin Herbert since the moment that the Chargers made him the pick. How is he adjusting? What is Herbert saying? How much will Herbert be expected to play? We'll find out all of these things coming up as we talk to the beat reporter covers that team. Also, later in the program, there have been some reports out there about the Portland Winterhawks possibly declaring bankruptcy. Is this franchise in trouble? We'll get an update for you in the 1 o'clock hour. There may be a savior coming out of left field, literally, on that front. So I want you to be sure that you're here in the 1 o'clock hour. We got a great hour of radio in front of us. For those of you who want to join Team Canzano, I want you to text BFT to 484848. You can do that right now. And what you will get is when we have tickets to give away and there are games, you will be at the front of the line, possibly to get those tickets. Also, breaking news.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.